On today's show, for better or worse, it is Gators Week, and me and Lucas Panzeca are taking a look at every facet of this matchup as we get you ready for week number 4 in college football in Tennessee and Florida down in the swamp. Pros and cons of each quarterback. Hendon Hooker, Joe Milton. Did Hendon Hooker do enough against Tennessee Tech to get the start? Lucas and I will break that down. Plus, this Tennessee run defense actually isn't that bad. Strength versus strength. And I think Tennessee might get exposed as not actually being that good at stopping the run on Saturday in the Swamp. All that and much more on today's show that's brought to you, as always, by Brentwood Hearing Center. If you're at a tailgate, if you're at a football game, maybe you're sitting one seat away from somebody and you find yourself asking them to repeat themselves all the time. Like, not just after a big play, but the band isn't even playing, nothing's happened, and you're still asking them, hey, what'd you say? Just go check out Brentwood Hearing Center. And tell them I sent you at 615-377-0420. They've got the latest hearing device technology. No matter what age you are, whether it's a situation where you're in the car and you can't hear the kids in the back seat, or maybe you're just someone in their 20s like me, someone can always benefit from seeing one of their audiologists and getting a complete diagnostic hearing test. You're going to be glad that you did. 615-377-0420. BrentwoodHearingCenter.com is the website. Brentwood Hearing Center, better hearing, better life. Gators Week on the UT Podcast, and it starts right now.
Will Bowling, Lucas Panzeca, and
Gators
the best
week
insiders
the
covering
Tennessee
the Vols
podcast.
On Rocky Top each and every week. It's the ultimate Tennessee podcast on the Zone much Podcast much Network.
Alongside Lucas Panzeca, I'm Will Bowling. We're off to a hot start today. To start Florida Week here on the 104.5 The Zone Podcast Network. It is the ultimate Tennessee podcast, like you heard the big voice guy say a second ago. Wednesdays, right here on The Zone Podcast Network, 6 o'clock on Wednesdays. We drop at the same time, Lucas, as the install with Greg Cosell and Buck Rising. Not a great strategy, probably, for us to compete against Buck or any other podcast, for that matter, since that is the biggest podcast in our network. But nevertheless, time to talk some balls. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, I don't know what the Venn diagram looks like of the listeners of both of those. I'm sure it overlaps some, but hold just on. The way you started that podcast, that shows it's Florida Week, baby. I'm doing well. I'm doing as well as I can be until approximately, I don't know, let's say 3:30. Or no, it's a night game. So 7 p.m. Central Time on Saturday, 7:30.
So it's not a rip-off the Bandage game.
Aside from all the doom and gloom, look, it's the start of SEC play. It's Josh Heupel's first road trip as the head coach of the Vols, and we're hopefully going to learn some things. That's going to be my biggest pro of every weekend going forward is, hey, we'll learn some things this weekend about Josh Heupel and this football team, and hopefully the quarterback position, and definitely about this defensive line. So let's dive in.
I'm excited for this game, and we're going to get into this in a minute as we dive into some of the analytics behind Tennessee, Florida, a Tennessee strength that is going to be pushed to the limit on Saturday against Florida, and a thorough breakdown of Milton versus Hooker, which is going to be the conversation on pretty much anything that talks Tennessee over the next couple of days. So looking forward to that. On today's show, we'll hit on Tennessee Tech here in a minute. But Lucas, the bad thing about a night kickoff is that I will have talked myself into this game not being a disaster by the time it kicks off. Like, if this was a noon game, I would wake up and immediately just be like, all right, well, here goes nothing. Here we go. But the fact that it's a night game means that by 6 p.m., I'll be like, you know what? Yeah, maybe they hit some deep passes and it's a letdown game for Florida. I wish that it could be a rip off the Bandage game just so I wouldn't have more time to talk myself into Tennessee covering, not even Tennessee winning, just Tennessee covering.
Yeah. I was just on with my guy, Russell Smith at Fox Sports Knoxville, where this football team's at right now. Unfortunately, that prayer is enough for people to hold on to come, you know, 3, 4, 5 PM Central Time, Eastern Time, whatever, on Saturday afternoon and going into Saturday evening. So, yeah, I mean, this team has a prayer going down to Gainesville. This is a Florida team that almost just beat the Alabama Crimson Tide at home and exposed some of Alabama's weaknesses. And anytime a team does that, there's a lot to be concerned about. Dan Mullen, you have to give him a ton of credit for the way he's molded this offense to its strengths, where a year ago, you couldn't name a running back on the Florida roster with the way they were flinging it around to Kyle Pitts and with Kyle Trask breaking records at quarterback and Kadarius Toney. And now it's about the ground game. It's about what Emory Jones can do with his legs. It's about Malik Davis and this Florida offensive line that I think there were question marks about going into the season and has risen to the top of the SEC in terms of rushing attack through the first 3 weeks. So credit to Dan Mullen, and it's going to be rocking. This is the Swamp. It's a Saturday night. It's Tennessee coming to town, and they're going to be there expecting a blowout. Yeah. And that doesn't mean they're going to be, the fan base is going to be any less hungry and any less electric, because they're going to be expecting to blow out Tennessee, and they're going to be expecting to enjoy every minute of it. It's going to be rocking.
It is going to be a heck of an atmosphere. There is no doubt about that. I don't buy in much to the letdown game narrative, because it's still Tennessee and it's still a night game in the Swamp. So I don't think that's really a very legitimate argument to make about Tennessee possibly having a chance in this game. But before we get to Florida, Lucas, let's wrap up Tennessee Tech. We didn't learn much about this team that we didn't already know. This team still has an offensive line that can't knock bad teams off of the football in the running game. They are still banged up at the running back position, where I thought they were pretty underwhelming. And for me, Hendon Hooker didn't do enough to take over the QB1 job. I didn't really learn anything new about Hendon Hooker other than the fact that I don't think his ball security is good enough for him to be the guy when this offense is at its best. When this offense is maybe kind of somewhere in the middle and good, not great, and you're not missing open men and you're going to actually connect on some deep passes, Hendon Hooker can do that for you. But I still think the way this guy turns the football over against Tennessee Tech as well, and still not knowing the mesh point with his running backs and missing the easy plays, I don't think he helped his case. I also don't think he really hurt his case either on Saturday.
Yeah, and that's the problem, right? We didn't make any progress in that conversation on Saturday. It never felt like this offense hit a rhythm on Saturday that Josh Heupel would like for them to hit. At the end of the day, yeah, it's a 56-0 blowout, but it felt like it was the case because, you know, Tennessee had SEC players and Tennessee Tech had OVC players. And look, Tennessee Tech is not really going to compete in the OVC this season. So it just kind of came down to that, which isn't what you want in these matchups. That's not what you want to learn. Our players are just better than their players. That doesn't do you any good. And I felt like that's all Tennessee really learned offensively after Saturday. They never really hit that rhythm, saw a few of the issues with the overthrows. And you're right, ball security is a question mark. And this offensive line did not get the push up front that it needed to against, a bottom half OVC team, which is what Tennessee Tech is. Running up the middle, I think, was a concern for Tennessee. They cannot get Jabari Small back quickly enough. But that, even getting Jabari Small back, doesn't really alleviate some of the concerns along the offensive line. They can't get Cooper Mays back quickly enough. That guy might be as critical as anybody to the success of Tennessee up front this season, and his status still up in the air for the Florida game on Saturday. So offensively, unfortunately, you didn't really learn much. Bayless Jones is good with the ball in his hands. We know that. It was good to see him flash. Need some of that on Saturday. I will say, though, defensively, you continue to be encouraged by what you see on defense. They continue to show up. This defensive line has played very, very well. I think you're seeing the fruits of Rodney Garner's labor there as the defensive line coach, and finally forcing some turnovers, flying to the football. And I know it's Tennessee Tech, but what happened on Saturday is a whole lot better than what would have happened if they weren't able to force a turnover against Tennessee Tech, or if they had only forced one because of a bad play and bad ball security by a running back or something like that. It was Alante Taylor stepping in front of balls to pick passes off. It was putting pressure on the quarterback, flying to the football. So you continue to be encouraged about what you're seeing defensively from Tennessee a little more than what you're seeing offensively, just because you know what the ceiling, what you want the ceiling, at least, of this offense to be under Josh Heupel. And that's certainly not the conversation we thought we'd be having 3 weeks in.
Lucas, this is a very alarming stat going into Florida week. Tennessee's running backs averaged less yards per carry against Tennessee Tech than Alabama's did against Florida. Tennessee's running backs averaged 3.8 yards per carry against Tennessee Tech. Alabama's running backs averaged 3.9 yards per carry against Florida. So basically, as bad as we just saw Tennessee look on the ground, knocking a bad FCS team off the ball, is what Florida's defense made Alabama look like in the running game on Saturday. It's not great.
Yeah, and Tennessee's going to have to run the football in this game. They're just going to have to. And Josh Heupel wants to run the football. I think it's a big misconception with this offense.
Yeah,
Tennessee needs to be able to run the football to be able to stay in a rhythm. It's not drop back passing for a second, third, and fourth down every drive. So Yeah, it's definitely a point of concern, especially after week one. We walked away saying, okay, the rushing game looked good against Bowling Green. Yeah, it was Bowling Green, but you haven't seen any progression since then. And that's fair in week two against Pitt when you're missing your two starters in Tyon Evans and Jabari Small. And you got Evans back, and you need Small back against Florida on Saturday. So it comes down to Cooper Mays, I think, because without Cooper Mays, you're having to move guys around to spots that they're not the most comfortable in. It does show the lack of depth along this offensive line, but you need this line to be fully healthy and fully intact to have a puncher's chance in the SEC when it comes to the line of scrimmage.
I think you're absolutely right. And when you look at this offense so far, they have done a good job alleviating our concerns with getting off the field really quickly. Tennessee has 4-3 and outs this season, which is tied for the best along with Auburn in the SEC. So one of our biggest concerns about Tennessee was when they go 3 and out in about 30 seconds, it's going to be really tough on this defense. That trend needs to continue, and I don't think that it is. A worrying trend on the other side of that is that Tennessee's turning the ball over on 3% of their drives, which is second worst in the SEC behind Kentucky. So you put those two stats together, and you've got the third worst offense in the SEC in points per drive at 2.06 points per drive. Lucas, this offense just has to be more efficient. It's going to be so hard for this offense under Josh Heupel to be efficient per play. So I think it's a better stat for Tennessee is going to be points per drive than yards per play and all these things, because Tennessee is just going to run so many plays that they want to just bite off a little bit every single time. That they're never going to be efficient per play. They've got to be more efficient per drive. They've done a good job on the 3 and outside. They're going to regress to the mean on that. But look at the teams they've already played, the amount of turnovers that they've had. They're not picking those up on the back end defensively. I don't care that this team turned Tennessee Tech over, what, 4 times on Saturday? I don't really care about that. I need this offense to not give it up so much, because the efficiency is just not there. And the way that this offense runs for Florida, the way they run the football, you give them 2 turnovers in a half of football, and you're going to get doubled up in time of possession. Your defense is going to be absolutely gassed. And subbing in Solon Page and Aaron Beasley as kind of these line shifts that Tennessee's doing at linebacker, they're going to get exposed a lot more in these SEC games than they have been against Pittsburgh, Bowling Green, and Tennessee Tech so far.
Well, do you know how many drives Alabama's offense had in the second half of the Florida game on Saturday?
Ooh, second half of the Florida game.
Yeah, just throw a number out there. How many series Alabama's offense played in the second half of that game?
5?
3.
3? Really?
Alabama's offensively got 3 drives in that second half. So when you're looking at a Tennessee offense that is either going to be high flying, moving down the field, scoring points in, 2 to 3 minute drives, or snap of the finger, 3 and out when things don't go well, and when you turn the football over, games can get out of hand pretty quickly.
Very quickly.
When you're putting that much pressure on your defense, especially against a team like Florida that we watched manufacture a slow, time consuming, back breaking 99 yard touchdown drive on Alabama with multiple third down conversions, fourth down conversions, running the football and completing first down passes when they needed to. That's the thing about Emory Jones. And if all the attention has been on the Florida run game, he pushed the ball downfield and made the plays when he needed to for the Gators against Alabama. So when you look at all of that, you're right. That is the most important thing for Tennessee's offense is going to be efficiency, because they're not going to be on the field very long, regardless of how well they play. What are they going to do with their time on the field? Because, you don't make anything of that first drive and Florida and maybe Tennessee, forces a field goal or gets a stop. But if those continue to pile up on each other, Florida is going to have those long, time-consuming drives that are going to tire out your defense. And the way this offense is constructed, you're going to put that defense back out on the field pretty quick.
Yeah.
So it's either a shootout where your offense is able to keep up with the Gators against a tired defense, or you're getting blown out. I don't know if we're going to see a whole lot of in-between when it comes to top-level SEC teams that Tennessee plays this season. You're absolutely right. Efficiency is the number 1, 2, and 3 priority for this Tennessee offense. And they can't make those mistakes. I mean, it has to be a mistake-free game from this offense.
Yeah, it's got to be perfect.
It's got to be as close to perfect as it can be. You know, you miss one or two of those open deep shots schemed up by the Josh Heupel and his staff, you're not going to win this football game. If you don't take advantage of those opportunities and you put the ball on the ground one or two times, if the turnover battle is even in this game, Tennessee's not winning. You have to win the turnover battle. You have to avoid penalties, which they did do a good job of against Tennessee Tech, I will say, for most of that game. So yeah, you're right. It's got to be efficiency. It's got to be mistake-free. And then you give yourself a puncher's chance.
How many times have we said that going into a Tennessee game? That, hey, Tennessee has a chance to keep this close if they play a perfect game.
Right.
And then Tennessee never plays a perfect game. This Florida team averages 336 yards per game rushing so far this season. They carried the ball for 245 against Alabama, averaging 5.7 yards per carry. Their success rate against Alabama for their top three rushers was 54%. And their team total of 47% success rate was the highest ground game total surrendered by Alabama since the 2019 Iron Bowl. I mean, Emory Jones is a running back at quarterback, 19 for 76 and a touchdown on the ground. Malik Davis, 10 carries for 86 and a touchdown. Damian Pierce, 7 carries for 24 and 2 touchdowns. And he's the first running back to have 2 rushing touchdowns against Alabama since Master Teague in the national championship game last year. Remember that stat? By the way, that there was one point where Alabama went like 5 years without giving up 2 rushing touchdowns with the same running back. Like, that's one of those stats that every color guy loved in Alabama games.
Well, Alabama's had a few of those stats that you're just like, how is that possible?
Just like, shut up about the sun. They have 3 runners with over 200 yards rushing already. And Dan Mullen's spreading it out. You got 5 guys who have 15 or more carries. 5 guys have 100 yards rushing or more. This is kind of what Josh Heupel wants this offense to look like as his master plan in 3-4 years, however long it takes for Josh Heupel to have this kind of depth. Tennessee is going to get a lesson in what Tennessee could be at its very best if Josh Heupel is the guy. Obviously, we don't know if Josh Heupel is the guy yet, but Josh Heupel wants 3-4 running backs that each get a series. And, you know, a running back gets 2 series per half. But we've seen that a little bit with Jabari Small and Tyon Evans, who desperately need to be the 1-2 punch for this Tennessee team. But it's the best 3-game start for Florida on the ground since 1981, when they averaged 300-plus on the ground through 3 games. It is strength on strength, though, Lucas, because Tennessee, the one thing that we can say Tennessee hangs its hat on through 3 games of 2021 is its defensive line and its rushing defense, giving up just 54 yards per game on the ground through 3 games this season. I don't believe that Tennessee's actually that good at stopping the run. I just think Kenny Pickett was a, you know, throw it around the yard kind of guy for Pittsburgh. But I do believe if there's one coach I believe in on this coaching staff, Lucas, it is Rodney Garner, to have his guys ready to at least surprise Florida on one of these early possessions. Is that too much to ask for? Just force one of those 3 and outs in the first quarter while the fans are looking around like, wait, what did they just do?
Yeah, and I think so much of that's going to come down to the secondary. Yeah, and maybe some of these and some of these corners for Tennessee being matched up man-to-man if they do load the box to stop the run for Florida. Because you're right, and one of the biggest stats that sticks out to me from what Florida did on Saturday, you know, 43 rushes, 245 yards, 5.7 yards per carry, 4 touchdowns against Alabama. They had a long of 30. That was their longest rush on the night. That means there's no big busted 65-plus yard rush to crank up those numbers. It means they were steadily grinding down this Alabama defensive front, part of a unit, by the way, that many thought, I thought, was going to be one of the best ever under Nick Saban in that era coming into the season. So we're going to find out about Tennessee's defensive line. I agree with you. They're much better. I think they're the most improved unit on the football team, no question, from last year to this year. And how can they not be? They didn't have a position coach last year. They have a bona fide leader up front in Matthew Butler, who I think is statistically, and you look whatever measurable you want to look at, he's been one of the best defensive linemen in the country through the first 3 games of the season. But again, that's against Bowling Green and Pitt and Tennessee Tech. So we're going to find out about this defensive line in this game. But if they're able to do their job, then the game's going to come down to on the outside. If Tennessee can match up well at these 4 to wide receivers, where it isn't the big strength, Jacob Copeland, really, as Tennessee fans will probably remember, and the Vols race to sign Jacob Copeland, he's their best wide receiver, and it's not like he's a number 1 or 2 pick for any NFL team in the upcoming draft. He's kind of inconsistent, and Emory Jones can make the throws, but he's not a guy that's going to push the ball downfield consistently with accuracy. So if the defensive line steps up, it's going to come down to Alante Taylor on the outside, to Warren Burrell and some of the depth guys in the secondary to keep this Florida offense off the field. But it does begin, I think you're right, it begins with this defensive line that's played real well through the first three games. But we're going to find out just how improved they are on Saturday.
Tennessee also can't take the second quarter off like it has in every single one of its games so far. Getting outscored by Bowling Green in the second quarter, getting crushed by Pittsburgh in the second quarter, and then kind of slowing down a little bit against Tennessee Tech in that second quarter as well, when this team wasn't really clicking on all cylinders. Pittsburgh on the run carried the ball 45 times. They only finished with 96 yards against Tennessee. My concern now for this defense is third downs. I think this is going to look a little bit like a Titans game in 2020, where I think Tennessee is going to be able on early downs to have a little bit of success against Florida early on in this game. But if you force a third down and 8, a third down and 7, a third down and 9 or 10 or more than that, it's mandatory that you get off the field. And I don't trust Tennessee with another running quarterback that can extend the play with his legs and Emory Jones. I don't trust Tennessee to not just have a Tennessee moment and just let a guy absolutely run free, or let Emory Jones run, and then a linebacker comes up to try to get him, and he just pops it over his head to a tight end. I don't trust Tennessee to cover a slant on third down and 5, third down and 4, because they still have not proven that they've learned how to do that since the Jeremy Pruitt era. I just feel like we're going to see glimpses of this Tennessee defense being aggressive, putting Florida in negative situations, putting Florida behind the chains, and then give up a third down and 14 or a pass interference on a third and 17. That is what I expect out of this game, and I'm ready to be pissed off about it, to be quite honest with you.
Well, that's what Alabama's defense did the entire second half against Florida. That's true. They had them pinned on the one-yard line for a third and 10, and they converted, and they went down the field and scored a touchdown. How pissed do you think Alabama fans are about that? And they won the game.
Oh, definitely.
So, and Emory Jones ran the ball well in that game, 19 carries, 77 yards, and a touchdown. And listen, we haven't even talked about the possibility of Anthony Richardson being in that game. He's supposed to be fully healthy.
There's a reason.
And we have no idea. Owens likely to get the start. Anthony Richardson is the wild card in that aspect. So I know we're about to get into Hendon Hooker versus Joe Milton as we kind of transition to the offense and who we expect to see on Saturday. That's kind of a card that Josh Heupel has in his back pocket, right? That's one thing that Tennessee has this week is Florida doesn't know who's starting for the Vols at quarterback on Saturday. Problem is Florida has that card too, because Tennessee has no idea how they're going to use Anthony Richardson on Saturday. And that kid is dynamic.
He's incredible. And the final thing, kind of looking back at some of the games and what can be an indicator for this one before we get to the quarterback discussion, Pittsburgh went to the red zone 7 times against Tennessee. You know how many times they scored points? 7 times. They were perfect once they got in the red zone. 5 touchdowns, 2 field goals once they got inside the 20. They were 8 of 20 on third downs. That's okay if you're Tennessee. It's not great, obviously. Tennessee was 6 of 13 offensively against Pittsburgh. Another stat that I think kind of regresses to the mean a little bit. I don't think Tennessee is going to be near that good on third downs against anybody else in the SEC as they were against Pittsburgh. So your defense has got to come up with something in the red zone. It's going to come down for if Tennessee wants to be in this game in the fourth quarter, which I think should be the goal for Tennessee. Just be in the game in the fourth quarter. Don't have your fans turn into whatever else is on in the fourth quarter of this game. At least just give yourself a chance, kind of like you did in Tuscaloosa 2 years ago, how this team, you knew they weren't going to win, but it was, what, a 12-point game at that point? You'd already had your two best defenders ejected against Alabama in that game. But you're going to the fourth being like, all right, like, I still want to watch this football game.
Yeah.
That, I think, is the best-case scenario for Tennessee. And for the record, I don't see that happening. I think Florida gets out way early in this game, gets up by a ton, and Tennessee throws in a different quarterback. Whoever doesn't start is going to be better, and they backdoor cover. That's how I see this one going at this point.
Yeah. So, and let's talk about the quarterbacks.
Yes.
I think that's one reason. That's one reason that I think we see both quarterbacks on Saturday.
Without a
doubt. Because, you're more likely to see only one quarterback the whole way if Tennessee is able to stay in the football game. And I think at some point, whether it's first half, second half, Florida's going to pull away. This program is just miles ahead of where Tennessee is at this point. So let's talk about that, Will. I have compiled, unfortunately, this is a listening platform as a podcast, so our listeners cannot see. I have a trifold poster.
We can make a video with this.
Pros and cons between Hendon. Now, let's take my word for it. Between Hendon Hooker and Joe Milton. I have a pros cons list that I envision Josh Heupel and his offensive staff putting together as well on a whiteboard in whatever meeting room in the Brenda Lawson Athletic Complex at the University of Tennessee. So let's talk about that. Who we're going to see on Saturday. We have not seen Joe Milton since he was injured in the first half of the Pitt game. We know he's practiced in a limited capacity. Josh Heupel has stayed mum on it, as he should. Let's start with Joe Milton. Pro. Takes care of the football better. He's had two sack. Yes, he's had two sack fumbles. Both were from his blind side, but he has not put the ball in bad spots. No interceptions so far this season. And he hasn't really made those passes that make you cringe, right? Over the middle of a defense or trying to force a ball. That's a con against Hendon Hooker. Doesn't take care of the ball well enough. Lost a fumble through an interception in a critical moment in that game against Pittsburgh. Not really seeing a safety down the field. Lost a fumble at the end of a great run against Tennessee Tech. Just looser with the ball in his hands in general. Seems more likely to put it into questionable spots when he's throwing downfield. When you watch Joe Milton run the football, that thing is high and tight. When Hendon Hooker's running the football, a little looser with it. That brings me to a con, though, on Joe Milton. Doesn't run the ball as well as Hendon Hooker. Runs like a quarterback. Not shifty, can be flat-footed in the pocket. Now, when he gets going, he can rumble downfield, the 54-yard run against Pittsburgh, but that's not consistent. He doesn't have the fluidity of a running style that Hendon Hooker has, and that's the pro of Hendon Hooker. He runs like a wide receiver. He can make more plays with his feet, can escape bad situations when the pocket collapses, and we know this offensive line has given up several sacks at the start of the season. He's faster, more agile, just looser with the football. So you kind of compartmentalize those in the run game. But as far as the passing game, you know, what do we know about Joe Milton? A rocket arm. That's kind of the bonus. The con is that touch. It just has not been there time after time after time. And with Hendon Hooker, I think he has a stronger arm than people give him credit for. It's just when you stack him up against Joe Milton, who can throw it outside of the stadium. Yeah, it doesn't seem like he does. But I do think Hendon Hooker is a guy that can push the ball downfield. Put it this way, Hendon Hooker can get the ball to the end zone when you have the ball in the 50 for Hail Mary. You know what I mean? I have confidence that he can do that. I think he's a better arm than people think and a slightly better touch, but he still overthrew multiple receivers on Saturday. He had that opportunity to prove that he could consistently make those passes happen downfield, and he didn't do it. So I'll kind of wrap it up with Hendon Hooker as a pro. Seems to be a little more accurate. He's completed 70% of his passes. Joe Milton, little less. He's completed 51% of his passes, though that gap I don't think is as big as it looks. Hooker is a much bigger sample size, 392 pass attempts. Milton's only attempted 189. So Hooker's literally doubled him up in pass attempts. And then finally, Hendon Hooker's a grad transfer. He is who he is. Joe Milton's 21, but he's still got 3 years left of eligibility. So at the end of the day, I don't think there's enough separating the two for Tennessee to go away from Joe Milton, the guy they went out on a limb for to bring in the offseason. So I think this staff, like I said, loves the idea of Florida not knowing who's going to start between the two on Saturday, but the Gators have that in their back pocket too, with arguably a more talented duo in Emory Jones and Anthony Richardson. So there's just Hendon Hooker did not do enough to separate himself in that game against Tennessee Tech. So if healthy, I think we see Joe Milton. The problem, Will, is I have no idea who gives Tennessee the best chance to win.
Yeah, I think it's Joe Milton, too. I think you're exactly right in everything you're saying there about Hendon Hooker didn't take this job and run with it against Tennessee Tech. I also think that this could be a wide receiver issue and why all three of your quarterbacks are overthrowing wide receivers. Josh Heupel is really good at developing quarterbacks that have absolutely nothing. It's a bit perplexing to me that all three quarterbacks that have been on the field for Tennessee have all overthrown intended receivers. Obviously, Joe Milton has the biggest sample size, Harrison Bailey the smallest, but it's the common theme between what all three of them have done. So at what point do we look and say, is there some other factor going on here that's not just the quarterbacks? Because Josh Heupel is an outstanding quarterbacks coach. I think some of these are the wide receivers not sprinting all the way through their routes the way they are in practice. I don't know what the reasoning for that would be. Perhaps they're not as physical in practice, obviously, as they are in games. They're getting jammed on the line. And plus, you just don't have a lot of the same receivers out there. Jimmy Callaway does not have as many reps with the first quarterbacks as Jalin Hyatt has. We haven't seen a lot of Jalin Hyatt this season. So I think that's part of what this is. And I still in my brain just think, how good could this offense be if Joe Milton starts connecting those deep balls? That's a really big hypothetical. I understand that. I'm aware of that. I accept that. But think of how many points this Tennessee offense would have scored in that first half against Pittsburgh if Joe Milton hits half of the deep balls that he missed on. That's what gets me excited about this offense. Joe Milton, if he comes around on that one part of his game, this offense becomes everything we hoped and more against bad teams. Yes, but the potential is there with Joe Milton for me. I think he's closer than people were giving him credit for. I think he's closer to hitting the ceiling of this offense than what Hendon Hooker is, but I feel comfortable with both of them. I really do. I think Hendon Hooker gives you good things in the run game. Until one of those guys takes the job, I'm rotating them a lot in this football game. I mean, it's every two or three series. If those guys aren't getting the job done, if they're missing throws, if they're just not in a rhythm, go to the next guy. That next guy didn't get it. All right, back to whoever you took out. Somebody's got to get in a rhythm, and until they do, we're going to continue to see these two quarterbacks get switched in and out.
I mean, it's obvious there's so much work to be done as far as the timing and the established on-field relationships between quarterbacks and receivers. But I don't know. I mean, you're seeing all you see. I'm not in those rooms. I don't know exactly how that route needs to be run by Cedric Tillman or Jalin Hyatt.
Right.
All I see is a guy running free with a path to the end zone and the ball being overthrown by 10 yards.
Right.
That's all we see. I think they're scheming guys open. And I think in large part, these receivers are doing their jobs. I really, really do. I think it's a matter of Tennessee's quarterbacks not having the touch to connect them. That's just what we see. And that's what the type of questions these coaches are fielding. I mean, Josh Heupel was asked about it in his post-game presser by Austin Price on Saturday. So does it at least comfort you a little bit that part of the equation is being executed? The scheming, the play calling, and the guys are getting open. It's just that one missing piece of the quarterbacks. Heupel said, no, not really.
Yeah, I was going to say, absolutely not.
You need all 11 guys connecting and executing on the, you know, it doesn't matter. You can get guys running free all the time.
Right.
Doesn't matter if you're not connecting. So, no, it doesn't make me feel better. And then Cody Burns is talking about his receiving crew getting open and talking about how the continued reps with the quarterbacks, he said they will connect on these deep balls. They will start executing these balls. I don't know. I don't think this is nearly as much a receiver issue as it is a quarterback's issue, because that has been a bright spot. I mean, there's a lot of potential there. The problem from guys like Callaway, Jalin Hyatt certainly has not had at the start of the season that people expected him to. Bayless Jones, we know, is excellent with the ball in his hands. I expect to see them try and get him out in space a little more, maybe work in some more of the screen game. Do some things to get these quarterbacks in a rhythm. Let them get comfortable, although they will take shots downfield against Florida. They have to. But I do think this is much, much more a quarterback issue, because they're overthrowing these guys by 10 yards on the majority of these plays.
Yes.
And I can't help but look at that and say, this is a quarterback problem.
I agree with you for the most part. I just think when you have three guys making the same mistake, there's something else going on. I don't know 100% what it is. It's just an interesting part of the conversation I don't think a lot of people are having at this point. All right. So Tennessee, Florida, you can catch pregame coverage for this one with myself and Ron Slay on the Tennessee Tailgate Show. We will get you all ready around 3 o'clock at the conclusion of LSU Mississippi State on Saturday. So Slay and I will take your phone calls, and we'll have the full preview ready for Tennessee, Florida as well, Saturday on 104.5 The Zone. Lucas, enjoy it. Does Tennessee cover on Saturday?
What is it, 20 and a half?
Yeah.
I'm going to say no, because we just don't have I don't have anything from the first three games, any of a sample size, to think that they will.
I agree.
They could. They connect on a couple of these deep balls. They absolutely could. And many people didn't think Florida would cover. That was a 15-plus point spread against Alabama on Saturday.
So. I can confirm that I put U.S. dollars on them not to cover.
So, no, I think they can will. I don't think they will, simply because I say these things based on what I've seen. And I haven't seen enough to think they're going to go down there and compete with Florida and be able to complete those balls downfield. I know they can, but I don't know if they will.
Well, we will talk to you next week right here once again on the 104.5 The Zone Podcast Network as we get you ready for a winnable game, Lucas, in the SEC between Tennessee and Missouri. Looking forward to doing that. I will talk to you at 3 o'clock on 104.5 The Zone. Tennessee and Florida this weekend. Try to enjoy it as much as you can. And if you're like me, you will have talked yourself into Tennessee covering by the time this week kicks off. Enjoy it. We'll talk to you next week on the Zone Podcast Network.